On this day 50 years ago, the acclaimed photographer and filmmaker Gordon Parks released a film called...
Can you dig it?
The film was a hit for then-floundering MGM Studios. Shaft inspired a number of other films that are referred to as blaxploitation cinema. NPR's first broadcast was 50 years ago as well. So since we share an anniversary with Shaft, we're taking a moment to explore the complicated legacy of an American classic. Here's NPR's Mark Rivers.
50 years ago, cultural critic Nelson George was 13 years old, sitting in a darkened theater in Times Square. And then came the electric opening credits of Shaft.
The minute he goes off the subway and we hear that wah-wah pedal kick in, we're like, whoa, yes, we're in this world.
On screen, a handsome black man wearing a long leather jacket over a turtleneck sweater knifes his way through New York traffic, glides through picket lines, shoots the breeze with a newspaper vendor. And just who is this man? A sultry voice breaks it down.
Who's the black private dick that's a sex machine to all the chicks? You're damn right.
You could have left the movie after that and you've been feeling really great about yourself.
In 1971, Shaft was a revelation and a rupture from the past.
Boss! Boss! Got good news for you.
In the cinema of the 1930s and 40s, black men were often portrayed as servile or slow.
Ain't bothering nobody, just doing nothing.
They were caricatures.
Black men were neutered in films for decades.
They were also desexualized, says critic Nelson George. With the arrival of the graceful Sidney Poitier as a leading man in the 1950s, there was progress, but it was quaint.
Then you had Sidney, who's sort of like attractive, handsome, but not overtly sexual.
George says that following the 60s civil rights era, things changed. Audiences changed.
By 70, 71, the world is shifting. Instead of we shall overcome, people are saying black power. And so there was a desire in the culture for not a suit and tie hero, but someone who reflected the funky, freaky things that were going on.
That funk of Shaft came less from the plot than from the cool and commanding presence of its star, Richard Roundtree, who started his career as a model.
I didn't even introduce myself to you gentlemen. My name is John Shaft. Freeze.
And of course, from Isaac Hayes' electrifying score. The success of Shaft opened the door for films like Trouble Man and Superfly, stories of black characters facing urban decay, crime, and fighting the man.
He's got a plan to stick it to the man. He's super hood, super high, super fly.
Critics called them blaxploitation, a term inspired by exploitation films, late-night cinema defined by sex and violence. Films that, if you were young enough when you saw one, made you feel like you got away with something. And much of the thrill came from the fact that the protagonists in these movies did get away. They won. And black characters didn't often get to win on screen. The movie came out on the eve of a recession, and studios were looking to make fast and cheap hits, says film professor Raquel Gates.
And one of the things that they do is they sort of, and I say this jokingly and in full sarcasm, is they remember that black people exist.
Shaft was a huge hit. With a budget of $500,000, it grossed $12 million. So studios cranked these films out one after the other during the 1970s. But these films always had their critics. Some black organizations campaigned against them, saying they glorified drug dealers and violence and profited from unflattering portraits of blackness. Here's critic Nelson George again.
Black people didn't feel like should have been popularized. We feel like that was pulling the race down. And to some degree, we're making ourselves look bad in front of white people.
Then there were the women in these films. Many were little more than eye candy. But there was also Pam Grier.
Now I'm not going to stand here and argue with you. Now you better tell me who you talk to because it's either them or you.
Grier became a feminist icon for her larger-than-life action roles in films like Coffee and Foxy Brown. She told NPR in 2010 that she knew these women.
My mom was Coffee and my aunt was Foxy Brown.
Film scholar Raquel Gates says Grier could find a depth that wasn't always on the page.
Pam Grier brings such an authentic vulnerability and fragility to her portrayal, which I think is in spite of whatever was in the script.
By the 1980s, blaxploitation films largely went out of style. But if there's one aspect of their legacy that never went away, it's the music. In a conversation with Fresh Air's Terry Gross, Isaac Hayes described how he found the sound for Shaft's theme.
You know, they explained the character to me, you know, a relentless character, always on the move, always on the prowl. And you got to get something to denote that for the main theme. I said, what can I do? And I told Willie, the drummer, I said, give me that hi-hat, man, some 16 notes, you know. And he did that, and it worked.
Isaac Hayes became the first African-American to win an Oscar for music. It was also a hit and paved the way for other artists to create rich soundscapes for the films that followed, like Marvin Gaye's Trouble Man score. Or Curtis Mayfield's Superfly. Ooh, Superfly. You're gonna make your fortune. Again, critic Nelson George.
So the early 70s is, for me, one of the peak moments of black musical expression. I mean, basically, the entire hip-hop generation of the 80s and 90s is foundational music, is this music from the early 70s.
I think that's true.
Ali Shaheed Muhammad is a member of the group, A Tribe Called Quest. He remembers how the Shaft soundtrack first hit him.
It was an album that represented a character that was a superhero for the black community, and it showed the level of genius that we're able to compose on.
For years, there have been attempts to reboot films from the blaxploitation era, from a new Superfly to new Shaft movies. They weren't always critical or box office success stories. Raquel Gates thinks a worthy reboot would need to do more than just feed nostalgia.
What questions is it asking about power? What questions are these films asking about the sort of, you know, identity of individual black people and their relationship or their responsibilities to a larger black community?
1971's Shaft may or may not have answered these questions, but for a generation of black audiences who saw it on the big screen when it first came out, the movie was and remains a cultural touchstone. Again, Nelson George.
I mean, to this day, I will tell you that I got a whole bunch of turtlenecks and leather jackets that I've worn. You know, certain days I put that thing on, and I'm Shaft. Who is the man that would risk his neck for his brother, man?
Can you dig it? I can dig it. Mark Rivers, NPR News. Who's the cat that won't come out?